Well, happy Mother's Day. Oh gosh, that was an introduction, wasn't it? I tell you what, I love being mum. And I've always loved being a mother. I've loved looking after my children. And yes, it's been difficult situations over the years in some ways, and felt like a single mother there a few times. Like, oh, can we stop travelling for a little bit? I just need you at home. But you know what I really love? Being Nana. Nana is awesome. You play with them, you laugh with them, and you hand them back. But it is great. I hope you've all had a great Mother's Day so far. I hope you've all received your text messages and your cards, and you're ready to go out for lunch and thoroughly enjoy it. And, you know, we're continuing on this morning with our Strong Women series. And so I'm sort of like trying to think, now where am I going to go with this? And then I spotted this. If you can put it up on the screen for me. There, look. I thought, a few people got it. So I thought about actually doing the Proverbs woman. I thought, no, you need to be able to handle me in Judges 4. So here we go. Let's start unpackaging that. You know, when we talk about strong women, what actually comes to mind with you? Is it loud? Is it? Oh gosh, you know, you see these strong women. I mean, I don't like muscles on women like I don't like the muscles on men. You know, it's just not my thing at all. For me, a strong woman who is somebody who actually stands for what is right. You know, somebody who knows, you know, their values. They know where they're going. They know where they're heading, and they're going to put that into place to do that. It's, you know, a woman who is honest, a woman who has integrity, and a woman who is able to actually, as I say, stand for what she believes in. I am going to tell you a story, and it's a different one, Rebecca. And I'm going to take you actually way back in my life, and I was probably only about 21 at the time, so this was before I was married, but I was actually a credit manager. I did have a life before I became a pastor, and I was actually a very young credit manager. I'd sort of like worked my way into that position, and in fact, even prior to getting to that position, the man who held the job, I can remember talking to him and asking him about the role, because, of course, I was on my way up to it. And something came up about wages. And so I asked him how much he was getting. Well, he told me, my little eyes got big, and I went, oh, well, so do I get that money if I've got your job? He went, no. I went, what do you mean, no? He said, you're a woman. And I went, yeah. He said, no, I'm a man. I have a house and I have a family. We get paid more. And I was a little bit shocked at this, because I am going back about 45 years. I don't know if it's changed all that much, though, although we sort of keep hoping, don't we? And I think things change very, very slowly, but we are moving there. Anyway, I just continued on. I was determined. Anyway, I finally did. I got the job. I became the credit manager. And so now I'm running my little office and people and situations. But I was in a situation where we had a bigger boss. And in fact, I had two other bosses above me. I was sort of almost third in running. I was a credit manager in a store like John Lewis. It was called Meyer in Melbourne. And a very big chain store. And so, of course, I did have other bosses. But the problem was, one of the bosses used to always phone up and demand what he wanted. He was always quite rude, quite obnoxious. And on a regular basis, he would make the girls in my office cry. And I walked in this one particular day, I don't know, I must have been running late, I was somewhere, and I've got like three of them crying. I'm going, what on earth is going on with you lot? And they said, oh, well, he's called again and he's looking for you and he's not happy. And I went, oh, I'm over this. I am really over it. Anyway, the phone rings. And I went, there he is. That's him. I went, yep, okay, hold tight. So I picked up the phone and he barked his orders at me. And I went, no, stop right there, mate. I said, right, I will answer your question when you put it to me nicely. Number two, stop phoning and making my girls cry. I'm over it. Well, he hung up on me. I turned around and the girls were all looking at me. They're going, you're brave, but you may be dead. I mean, oh, well, we'll see. Anyway, about 3 or 4 minutes later, the phone rang again. I went, okay, this one could be interesting. So I pick it up and say hello. And sure enough, it's the boss back. He asked me the question in a very, very pleasant manner, to which I answered. And it was as if nothing had ever happened. And he hung up, but you know what? He never spoke rudely to me or the girls again. And I had set a standard as to what I was going to put up with in the office. You know, sometimes we just need to stand for what we believe in, don't we? It's, you know, it's important. I can get cross. I can get loud. Ask Rebecca. She'll know all about that. But that's not my go-to. It actually takes a long time before I get really angry at something and become really loud within that manner. And I'm a firm believer, though, on knowing where I'm headed, knowing what's going on, and sort of standing strong with it. What other attributes do we have, though, in women that are strong? You know, for me, I watch mums, and mums are protectors, aren't they? They're protectors of their children. And, you know, they might be yelling at them and not very happy with them, but don't you try and yell at them. Oh, no, that's not going to go down well at all. You know, mothers are mother bears. I have many stories about being mother bear in Thailand and some of my antics when I got really upset with people. Do you know, our mums have to stand strong. You know, mums are amazing. They're there, they're teaching our children. They're teaching them their value systems on how they're going to cope with life, how to be independent. I'm a big believer in nurturing, but also teaching independence. And I'm very independent, always have been. And I see that as a strong attribute so that girls know that they are independent, they know how to do life, and they know how they're going to be able to walk through it. You know, mums, you know, we carry the brunt for everything, don't we? We've got to do the feeding program. We've got to work out what everybody's eating, what our children are eating. You know, not too many snacks, and no, you've got to have fruit, and no, you can't have this, and you've got to have your 5 a day, and oh gosh, mums, it goes on and on. But you know, mums are brilliant, and I love to watch mums, and that sense that they're protecting their children, they're looking after their kids, they're watching over them, and they're teaching them. I also see a strong woman as somebody who stands against obstacles. Do you know, life isn't all easy, and we come along and things get thrown at us, and all of a sudden we'll find ourselves in a situation. And I know in Thailand, I suddenly realised that Tom was going to be travelling. I didn't know this language. Oh gosh, getting on buses was a nightmare. How am I going to get around? So I learnt to drive. And yeah, any of you seen pictures of Thailand? Yeah, driving in Thailand's fun. I did it. I needed to get around and I was going to do it. You know, we don't let obstacles be a situation that they're going to sink us. Mums, we've got to stand strong. We stand strong for our children, for our family. And things happen. You know, health situations happen. Life happens. And you know, financially, there are so many areas in our life, in our families, and we have these obstacles come into our life. Hey, we can do it. We stand strong, we work it out, we know what's going on. And I tell you, to be a woman of character, to be a woman who can actually be able to walk through is a strong woman. But we do know it's not always easy. You know, sometimes life's a battle. I mean, I don't know, your mum's with small children, I think your battle starts first thing in the morning, doesn't it? Eat your breakfast. Put your shoes on, put your coat on, get into the car. It was like, oh, okay, you know, getting out. But then we, you know, for some of you, you know, you might not have children, you're thinking, yeah, but, you know, life is still a battle. This goes for men as well. Okay, my message, although it's Mother's Day and we're talking about women here, this message covers men too. You know, think about the principles here of what I'm actually speaking about. You know, you get into the workplace, the work situation. Sometimes it can be feel like you're in a very dominated situation. You don't have a voice. Nobody's listening to you. This is just hard. This job, I don't like this job. I'm just not getting anywhere with. So obstacles now, situations are difficult. You know, there might be relationship situations that are difficult. Things just come our way. Life can tend to really feel a little bit like a battle. And it's difficult. But let's look here at a woman who actually led a battle. Okay, let's look in Judges 4 and verses 1 to 10. And it reads like this. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Don't you like that? Again. Those poor Israelites, honestly, they kept getting themselves into trouble. Anyway, so now that Ehud was dead, so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Now, Sisera, the commander of the army, he was based in Harosheth Haggaiim, because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. It's like, oh, Israelites, can you please stop doing silly things? But at least you know one thing, they actually come back to the Lord. It's like, oh, Jesus, we do need you. God, we need you now to rescue us. So now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lebedoth, was leading Israel at the time, and she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. So she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali. Go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. That one's easy. Okay. I will lead Sisera, this is Deborah still, I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. That's a challenge, isn't it? Girls, you up for challenges? Certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honour will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun, Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. And Deborah went with them. You know, Deborah was a major judge. She was actually the first female judge that they had, and that was back in Moses that actually sort of set her up there. And she was the only female back then. And she was also known as the mother of Israel. Now, it's not actually known whether or not she had biological children. But of course, I think it's a little bit how, you know, Tom and I refer to mother and father of the house, and it's an authority situation as well. It's a term of respect for a situation. So I think from that we can actually see that Deborah was actually referred to with respect. You know, she honour was given to her, and you know, she was actually in that position. But Deborah held court, and she used to sort out disputes and the situations, and she would judge them. And it sounds a bit like mums, doesn't it? We're pretty good at sorting out disputes, especially with 8 and 6 year olds. You know, it's all good fun. Okay, but Deborah was also a prophet, and again, that's, you know, she would hear from God. She would know where things were headed, and this was within that prophetic role that she had actually come to Barak. And you know, so we now know that the Israelites had been cruelly treated. They'd been crying out for help, and they really wanted God to come through and to deliver them. from this oppression that they were under. And so here we go. So like a good strong woman, you know, Barak's gone, yeah, well, I'm only going to go if you're going with me. Yeah, guess what, buddy? I'm coming with you. I will lead this thing. But because of how you have now set up the whole situation, guess what? You're not receiving any honour for this. So Sisera is going to be led into the hands of a woman. Now, he wasn't actually led into the hands. Deborah went and she actually organised everything. And so Sisera was actually led and he ended up fleeing and he fled to this tent. But he came across another woman who was also a very strong woman. And her name was Jael. Jael was a bit of an interesting character, and I mean, she was there and ready and waiting for him, and he came, and he was now tired because he'd been running, he'd been fleeing, and he went, oh, look, can I just have a glass of water? She went, oh, come on in, I'll give you a glass of milk. I thought, oh, okay, it's really nice. So he came in, and she gave him his glass of milk, and he promptly fell asleep. And I tell you what, that woman had a strength that we all certainly needed, because dear old Sisera came to a very grisly end. And if you haven't read the story, I'm going to suggest you finish reading Judges when you get home this afternoon. And all I can say is Jael had a very strong constitution, and it was absolutely brilliant. But of course, as we're looking at the story and we're going through, what's our take home from this morning? What can we actually learn from Deborah? And I think the first thing is be obedient. Do you know, and when we're talking about obedience, I'm talking about obedience to God. I mean, we're in a situation and we know Jesus, we know him in our life, and we're walking through and we're teaching our children, you know, how to be good Christians, how to follow Jesus, how to be in church on Sunday, and how to praise Jesus. And I think that's our first thing, isn't it? We need to be obedient to what God is telling us to do, where God wants us to go. Now, where do we learn all of this? We learn it also from Scripture, don't we? We know where we're going through God's Word. He speaks to us through his Word. He talks to us. You know, there are times when we get promptings, oh, you need to phone this person, to find out that person really actually needed to hear your voice. There are times when we see things and situations and we just need to be able to step into them and help people out and do things. We just need to listen. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to his callings. We need to listen to what he also wants to do within our lives as we're walking through life. It's amazing over the years I've just watched as God has prompted me with things that I need to learn not to do and things that I need to learn to do. And he's just spoken to me, and just in his very gentle way. But the only way, the only reason we can bring change into our lives, if we're actually obedient to those promptings and we start to work through in our life and do it. You know, so often I've heard people say, no, that's just my character. That's just what I've been brought up with. That's what how we did it in our house. And I go, you know something? All of that stuff you've learned and is learned behaviour. If it's learned behaviour, you can unlearn it and start now following the promptings of where Jesus is going and what he is teaching, what he is bringing into your life. And that is far, far better way to go. You know, number two, I think Deborah was courageous. And how often and how difficult is it? You know, the things come along in our life and we need to stand strong. We need to be courageous. We need to stand up to opposing situations. We need to just basically be there in the moment and be able to work things through. You know, there's an old saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Okay, you don't need to think that you're prepared to walk into a situation. If God's calling you to it, do it. Okay, get your brave on, move forward, and see how God works in there. Sometimes it's out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it feels a little terrifying as to how am I going to do this and how is this going to work? But you know, again, I will say God has never failed. He's never failed me. I've watched him as he's walked into situations. He's led me through in situations where I haven't felt that I've had the qualities to be able to do that, or, you know, I haven't, there's no way I've had the ability. And God goes, yeah, you can do it, and pushes me a little bit out into the deep end. And it's like, well, but the amazing thing is when we actually allow ourselves to be pushed out into the deep end, to actually sometimes go into those terrifying situations, we actually don't know what we're doing in somebody else's life. There may be somebody out there who actually needs the gifts and the qualities that we've got that we're going to bring into them. There may be somebody who really is crying out for help, and we have no idea. We're a little bit terrified because they look a bit scary, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God knows the situation, and he will never put you into a situation that you cannot overcome. So girls, we are able to stand strong. We're able. Don't back off on the terrifying. Okay, don't back off when you think it's too much. Keep moving forward. Be bold. Number three, stand true. Know who you are. Know what God has done for you. Know what God is doing in you. Okay, never waver in your faith. I said we may not know what is ahead of us. We may not know what is going on. And let's face it, who does? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, gosh, no, I would not have chosen to do this. But we're in it. And we have to keep walking through it. And all I can say is God is always faithful. He will faithfully guide you. He'll faithfully lead you. He will faithfully be there in your life every step of the way. You can trust him. You can trust him. So as I'm concluding now, I want to say, you know something? Strength isn't being loud. It isn't being pushy. It isn't being rude. You know, we can see these things. We sometimes look at people and you look and think, oh, gosh, yeah, they're strong, aren't they? Just because you're loud and pushy and rude doesn't mean that you're a strong person. Strength, for me, comes when I see somebody who's patient, somebody who has gentleness, and somebody who leads with kindness. Kindness is so underrated. Actually, Tom used the scripture a couple of weeks ago, you know, about leading in kindness. And if I can say, hey, we're living in a world at the moment that is so disruptive. We're living in a world where people want what they want and everything should be done their way. You know, you sort of like just look at people. And I'm also saying that, you know, that from the Christian community as well, they're demanding. They want everybody to live the way that they think that people should live. And we live in a very diverse world, and it's just not happening for some of those Christians, is it? It's just not happening. But we, you know, something, we're not called to make the world how we want it to be. Do you know what God has called us to do? He's called us to be the light to the world. He's called us to reach the people. And we're not going to do that by being loud, pushy, and rude. We're going to do that by being patient, gentle, and showing kindness to people. So I want to encourage you. Your mums, you are fabulous. Mums, you're doing a great job. Girls, and there's a lot of girls here too that are not mums, I tell you what, you're doing great. We keep moving forward. And hopefully us older women have been able to make the platform just that little bit easier for you to be able to come up, for things to change, and for you to be able to have your place in this world and for you to make a difference. And I suppose what I want you to do is to do the same for the younger ones. You make a way for the younger girls too to be coming through. And men, you are just awesome. I have to say, I love the men in our church. You really are awesome. And you make the way for us girls so much easier. I know I have an awesome husband. I have an awesome team. We've got great men on our team and that are all exactly the same, that want to see us as women rise and do well. So I love all you men too. You are brilliant. But you know something? Let's go forward. Let's be brave. Let's stand strong. Let's know where we're headed. But I tell you what, let's make a difference in the world in which we are living in and see people come to Jesus. Bless you.